Freedom 97.1 and 1120 AM WSME, Camp Lejeune, Jacksonville, and worldwide at WSME971.com.
You are listening to Sports Talk with Chris Rayner on Freedom 97.1, 1120 AM WSME.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to rumble!
Hey, good Friday. Welcome to Sports Talk. I'm your host, Chris Rayner. Got co-host Ashley Mosley with us today. Welcome back, Ashley.
Thank you, buddy. Good to be back.
I have missed you, brother.
I know.
The show just ain't the same without you.
I've missed y'all too,
buddy. The scintillating sounds of Ashley Mosley.
Great to be back.
And you picked a great day to come back, man. We got two of the best athletes. I'm going to say it. Two of the best athletes ever to come out of Onslow County. Louis Meadows and his brother, Melvin Meadows. I'm sorry. Is it Melvin Meadows and his brother, Louis Meadows? Is he your brother or are you his brother?
I'm his brother.
Who's the oldest?
Can you tell?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah. So, Louis, your brother.
Yeah, yeah. I'm his brother.
Welcome, guys, from the White Oak baseball teams. And see if I get this right. 1978 and 79 were the two championship seasons.
Yes, sir.
And
yes,
then 77 was that close.
Real close.
And
real
then 80 was that close.
Real close.
It was close to being your fellow Hall of Fame inductee, Stephanie Rose, was a four-time state championship winner. You guys were right there with them. That close to being four-time state championship winners.
That's right.
And there ain't nobody in this county that wouldn't trade anything to be there as a two-time state champion like you guys were. That's amazing, man. That run y'all had, was it 50-some games in a row?
52,
okay.
Which is a state record today.
And we're going to jump in. We're going to start with season number one, 77, here in just a minute. Let's pay the bills first, though, before we get going. Sports Talk is powered by the loss of John Drew Warlick, Rock Creek Golf and Country Club, Golden Corral, Jones Onslow EMC, your Touchstone Energy Cooperative, Barnes Diamond Gallery, National Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram, Bayshore Animal Hospital, where their new location is now open at 623 East Sabiston Drive in Swansboro, Bartley Insurance Services, Bill Mercer, Layton Associates Family Dentistry, Humphrey Heating and Air Conditioning, and Southern Touch Painting. Special thanks to Helen's Kitchen for those breakfast bowls they bring us every week. Our Hurricane Watch is sponsored by Downey's Heating and Air. We'll get into the hurricanes. You guys hockey fans?
I watch Carolina Hurricanes.
The Hurricanes.
I do.
They're the
I
only team that. We've ever had that done anything, you know?
I love that. And yeah. Especially the time they played in NC State Stadium.
Oh, yeah.
That was big time.
Did
man.
You go to that?
I didn't go, but we caught that last at the last moment. But that was one of the big,
we went.
Big times.
I'm
that
a huge, awesome, I'm man. A huge hockey fan. We went. It got down in the lower 30s, and I was the only one in the stadium with shorts on.
That's crazy.
Following Phil Padgett all the way to freezing my legs off. you can find on-demand Sports Talk podcasts at WSMB971.com. Wave to the YouTube and Facebook world out there. And subscribe to our YouTube channel at YouTube at WSME Radio. All that's out of the way because we won't talk nothing, but you guys, man, that incredible run y'all had in the mid to late 70s. Let's start with the now, what it was it 9th through 12th grade back then?
Yes, it
okay.
was.
Yes.
Yes, it was.
I went to Southwest a little after that when they started, and it was 7 through 12. And kids that talk nowadays about bullying, they have no idea.
Right.
Being a 7th grader on a bus with seniors, remember that day? It was brutal.
Yeah, I can
so,
imagine.
So you guys were 9 through 12th grade, though. And start with that 77 season. You guys both played as freshmen? Are you?
My 77 year, Melvin was
a sophomore.
A sophomore.
Yes. So
right. I'm sorry.
Younger. Melvin was a junior.
I was a junior. I'm
Melvin
sorry.
Was Go a ahead. Junior. I was a sophomore on the 77 team.
Okay.
Yes.
So the year before that was your freshman year then?
Yes.
Okay. Now, did you guys play as freshmen then, or did they have JV baseball back then?
We
How did that work?
JV.
Did it?
He played varsity.
Yeah, I played varsity all year.
All 4 years.
He did.
Football and
stud.
Well,
absolutely.
I was okay.
I mean, the guy got drafted in 13th round.
We're going to get to all that in a minute.
Out of high school.
Because
so
we're going to talk about y'all's whole journey through your whole baseball career and then what you're doing now in life and everything. But back in those magical days, let's start with 77, that season. Kind of walk us through the season. You can take turns and then explain, you know, how that season ended on that thing that lit that fire on y'all.
Well, we started out pretty good, and we ended up making the playoffs. So once we made the playoffs, we ended up making it to the finals. And we were pretty good. Thought we had a chance to win, And with that said, I'll let Louis close out on how we lost that final game.
Well, talking about the finals at first, how did it work back then? Was it a three-game series or was it
Actually, let me go back to that game. We got to the semifinal where we played Wake Forest Roseville.
Right.
The winner of that game was going to the state championship game.
Yeah. Gotcha.
And so, you know, we had a good run. We just didn't score. They played us really tough, but we were used to scoring 6, 7, 8 runs a game.
Yeah.
I think the score ended 3-2.
Right.
It's like a pitcher's duel.
But the way it ended, man, it just broke our heart. It left something inside of us.
Yes.
Were you guys home for that game or up at Raleigh?
We were up at Wake Forest Roseville.
So they were the last team to bat. So you guys come to the top of the inning, can't go over the hump. And that just – is that what lit the fire for them next two seasons?
Well, to end the game the way we did, I'm playing left field. Line drive hit over my head. Guys on first, I think.
Right.
On first. One of their best players, though. Uh-huh. He was their shortstop, and he was gung-ho, real. He was
a pretty good base runner. Smart base runner.
Smart guy. Yeah. So, guys, game's tired. So, you know, he's just trying to – they got last up. He's trying to score. Ball's over my head. I get the ball real quick, get it into the shortstop relay. Good throw, and what happened after that, man? I mean, the guy runs through it. Third base coach signed to hold up. He runs right through it.
Now, was that the winning run?
That was
the
winning
run. So they won on their last play. Okay, gotcha.
And the relay guy ended up throwing the ball to the catcher, but it was not catchable.
Not handled right.
Way up high.
It was like 15
feet.
One
of them things, man. Yeah,
but it happens.
And so many times you go to these games. I've been to a ton of high school games over the years, and I hear some of the ugliest things from the fans, and a lot of times they got to realize you're dealing with not just seniors all the time. You're dealing with 14, 15, 16-year-old kids.
That's right.
Exactly.
The chair recognizes Ashley Mosley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Had the throw been like it's supposed to the catcher, and the guy had run through the third base coach,
was he dead?
Had the throw been good, would it have been out?
No doubt about it. Okay. No doubt about it.
He wouldn't even been halfway
there. Exactly.
Okay.
No doubt about it.
Yeah, that's what really got us. We were like, and all of us were standing on the field like, we could have just
surreal,
hopper
But so you probably could have been better just to throw it from
just
now.
Just throw it all the way.
The base runner went from zero to hero.
No doubt. He was one of their best players, so that was like they had him pumped up. And that team won the state championship that year.
But one thing about it, we knew right then that we would be back because we had that much talent. It was so motivating. We was like, we wasn't down. But we knew we would be back.
Yeah, we knew we had a lot of talent on the team, and some younger guys was coming up behind us, so we knew we would be back.
Yeah.
No so doubt. It was 2-2 when that play started.
Yes.
Okay.
So the streak started after that ball game.
Yes, it did.
We lost that game. That's when the streak started.
That's like lighting gas on fire.
Yeah.
These boys take them off so much, and that's when it started.
Yeah.
So let's go on into the 78 season. First of all, who did Wake Forest? Did Wake Forest win the state championship?
I think they won the state championship in 77.
After that,
I don't know who they played, but I think they won.
And how many times have you seen that when brackets come out? You go, okay, the winner of this semifinal is going to be the state champion.
It don't matter
which one wins. So chances are, if you guys won that game, you'd have gone on to win the state championship or had a good shot at it.
Well, we would have had a great shot at it.
No doubt.
That's for sure.
That's my mother's hometown, by the way, Wake Forest.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Okay.
Awesome.
Well, let's roll into 1978. You come out, and I can only imagine what the preseason workouts and stuff were like with you guys with that kind of fire that they lit under you.
Well, one thing, though, that sent us into the summer.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we were
playing. That's what I mean by the preseason.
Playing Beirut baseball. We playing summer ball. We playing weekend ball. And, I mean, we turned the page on that, man. It was like moving forward.
That's right.
We rolling, man. Let's just get the season started. And, of course, we played all sports as well. We played football, basketball, baseball. So we were yearning to get that baseball season started in 78.
Now, you had three brothers on the team, right?
Absolutely.
Chucky also.
Yes.
Now, how did Chucky factor in age-wise? Was he older, younger?
Me and Chuck is the same age.
Okay.
But he's about 4 months older than me.
Same grade, though, or did he go to another grade?
Okay. Same grade.
A lot of times a month makes a big difference on what grade you go to.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
sure. So Chucky was factored into that, too. Give us some other names of some of them team members. Let's start with the 78 team, the first one, and then we'll talk about how y'all won it.
Okay, 78 was Melvin Kinsey. Another player of ours, Mike Meadows. He's not. We are not related. Mike Meadows.
And Mike's a Mike is not related.
Right.
No. He sat at the table with me. So Mike, but he's, he's the white man.
But we are brothers. Okay. We are brothers. Team brothers.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay. And he was at the table when he first said Greg Meadows. I looked at him and he said, "We're not related."
And there's a story to that. The reason why the Daily News start using Louis Meadows as my nickname
because of that. Okay.
I got you. So we and then you had Richard Maddox, Clint Maddox, Charlie Fonville, which is Chad's Fonville brother.
Okay.
And Charlie was really
Charlie
good.
Charlie is Chad's brother?
Yes.
He was Charlie.
Yes. A lot of people don't know
They had a big difference in age, didn't they?
They sure did. As a matter of fact.
Mom and daddy started early, then they went late.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So anyway, Chad used to follow us around when he was younger.
Okay. Now, how old is Chad? If you had to guess.
Oh, wow.
It's like he was roughly around my age, maybe mid-50s.
He might be somewhere around there.
Maybe a little
younger. Yeah.
He might be close to 50, younger. But
yeah.
I'd say maybe. Late 40s.
Yeah.
Sure enough. Yeah. And so
we had he had a great career, with the Dodgers.
Absolutely. He had a great career.
White Oak was pumping him out there for a while.
Yeah, White Oak was, as far as baseball, and I think the whole area start getting better. The whole area started getting real good because you had athletes coming from everywhere, man.
Then you had Jeff Horn and Clint Maddox and Richard Maddox. They were brothers.
Man, there's been a bunch of Maddox come through.
Absolutely.
Did you have the same coach for all four of those years?
At White Oak High School? Yes, we did. Yeah. Tom
McGirt. Talk about the coach a little. Tell me, I know right now he's going through some tough times. Just give a big shout out to your coach.
Oh, yeah, Tom McGirt, man. He was there for us, thick and thin. I mean, he put out the lineup. He knew all of us. He personally knew all of us. Like my brother was telling me the other day, he was dropping us off, picking us up, from practices and different things, man. So he put in a lot of time and work into making sure that we were where we should have been.
That's right. We have a deep love for Tom McGirt, no doubt about it.
And shout out to Tom, man. I wish he could have made it here. We pray for him. Everybody keep him in his prayer, in your prayers. He's really going through stuff.
And if you're listening, we love you.
We got the chance to talk to him. Yeah. I hadn't talked to him in a while. So that was really, really cool, man.
That's great.
Really cool, yeah.
Man, I wish he could have been there this past Tuesday at the induction ceremony and everything. By the way, when we get through, it's Friday now. When we get through here, we're going to run back over to Sturgeon City and hear the end of Tony Marshford's speech. He's still over there talking, I heard.
he kept telling Scott, he said, I got 9 pages. I'm only on the second page.
Exactly.
That was 30 minutes into the speech.
Exactly.
Cuz, we love you, but I had to give you that dig, man. I'm still over here talking right now. He got going, and it was so funny. He said, "All right, I'm winding up with this, and one more thing."
He was very comical.
It was his moment in the sun.
That's right.
How about the guy that took his time going out to the pitcher's mound that you talked about?
Talked about that, and somebody else actually mentioned it during the video because we talked about it on the radio. I said when he goes up to get inducted, it's going to take you forever.
Yeah.
Now Jack Brown was always known.
Right.
If you're up there in the booth and everything. You're calling the game. You see, call time, and you see him coming out. You're like, okay. I can go down to the 7-Eleven, get me a hot dog.
Right.
I got to call the next pitch,
There's going to be a minute.
He started loping out,
So, Cuz did his speech Jack Brown going to the mound.
He said it was 9 pages, we all laughed. It was 9 pages.
He was real, though,
He was flipping up there.
He was flipping that paper.
And then he thanked everybody in a great way. He had a lot of comedy. It was good. All the inductees had great speech. I think it was a great time.
Let me ask you a question. How many players from the undefeated baseball team did y'all have at the induction ceremony Tuesday night?
What do we have? 8, 9?
Somewhere
10?
Up in there.
That's good.
Yeah,
most of them showed up, man.
Pretty much.
A lot showed up. But in those couple years, man, we lost a few players that's no longer with us.
Exactly.
That kind of, to see those pictures and articles.
Yeah.
With all of that, it kind of touched us a little bit we were able to, make sure they're included as well, even though people don't know about it.
Yeah.
Right. Now, your Meadows brother that was sitting next to me, we talked about it. What was his first name again? the other Meadows.
Mike Meadows. My name is Mike Meadows.
No, but the Mike Meadows was sitting with me. His wife was there, and she was looking through this little thing.
Yeah, that's Cindy.
And it's something that the school made for y'all with all the newspaper clippings and stuff. That was awesome,
It was pretty cool, man. I mean, and a lot of guys, he's got a book with a bunch of articles.
I sure do.
We went to Melvin Kinsey's house the other day to visit him. You know, keep him in our prayers.
That's right.
But he had he showed me a book that his mom kept, and he had a bunch of those articles, and that's pretty cool.
I got a bunch of them from the day at Old Southwest stuff. You know, I got a whole filing cabinet I kept at work.
Yeah.
You know, full of them old newspapers. I just throw the old paper in there.
There you go.
So,
I mean,
who knows, you know, how much longer we'll even have newspapers.
There you go.
You know?
That's
absolutely
true.
That's
so, do we need to take a break in Hollywood, or are we good right now? Okay. Let's keep on about the 78 season. Do y'all even remember who you started out with, or didn't it matter? You just knew you were going to motor grade everybody that year. Were there some close games that were close to, you know, taking the streak away?
Oh, absolutely. Like there was quite a few close games. Yep. I can remember one game. We were playing, I think, West Craven and New Bern. We had a real close game. We eventually won the game, but our coach McGirt was so upset by the way we played. Now, you know, we lived in Belgrade, right? And New Bern, coming out 17, you had to pass through Belgrade to come back to the high school, and we would get off, and we had discussed that before the game.
Did he not let you off?
He would not stop the bus. He was so ticked off at us, man. He brought us all the way back to Jacksonville.
Let me take y'all back in time here real quick. Y'all remember the star route? Do you know what the star route was? The old mail-in route up there in Belgrade area? They used to call it the star route.
No.
Like, you know, the old address route would be like Route 4, Box 307,
whatever.
They used to call it the star route.
Okay,
they
called it the star. Yeah, I didn't either.
Me either.
I used to sell insurance up there years ago, and that's what's called star route.
Okay, yeah, I didn't
know
that. So
he didn't let y'all get off the bus like it's supposed to.
No, they don't.
How did you get back home?
Well, we had rides back home, but it was going to make it easier because there's a little country store there.
Couldn't you use your cell phone to tell your parents?
Well, man, we might as well walk home because we had no communication.
All you could do is holler out the window.
We had no communication.
No communication.
Tom is not stopping. Y'all come to the school.
Kids today have no idea the pain we went through. You be at like Skate World or something like that and have to get on that phone and call collect and say, come pick me up. Real quick. So we good to go? All right, we're going to take our first break, and we'll be right back with Louis and Melvin Meadows here on Sports Talk.
It's Sports Talk live on Freedom 97.1 WSME.
Hey, welcome back to Sports Talk. I'm your host, Chris Rainer. We got Melvin Meadows and Louis Meadows in here. Also co-host Ashley Mosey. Welcome back, Ashley.
Thank you.
We got talking all about that magical run y'all had back in the late 70s. Those two back-to-back state championship years. We had gotten into 1978 a little bit regular season-wise. So you get through that season undefeated. As best you can recollect, what was the record? Like 15-0, something like that? Because back then they didn't play as many games as they play nowadays.
I think we were like 18-0.
18-0
regular season. Right. Yes.
Won, of course, the conference undefeated.
Yes.
What was the conference back then? Coastal?
It was...
Big East.
What was it?
I don't remember what it was called back then.
I don't know what it was called.
Coastal
but it was
Plains.
West Carteret.
Not for sure, yeah.
West Craven.
Havelock.
East Carteret. Havelock. God, who else?
But Jackson wasn't in that conference.
No.
Jacksonville was still
They were 4A.
Right. Yeah, they was above.
That was back when they were big 4A.
Yeah.
And then we played New Hanover as well. They were like 4A as well.
Yeah. We played some of the New Bern schools. Yeah, we played like sure New did. Hanover. Laney, Hoggard.
So we had a tough schedule.
Were y'all?
Say again?
3A. We were 3A.
3A.
Yeah,
that's right. 3A. Yes.
Now that conference should have been called the White Oak owns this conference for like 4 years there.
Well, basically, we but the Jacksonville's conference and division, they were super tough as well. And that's why
would you play Jacksonville like non-conference or not?
Yeah, we did. We played them
non-conference. Those years. Okay.
Yes, we played them every year.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Now you're rolling into 78 into the playoffs. Any memories about some of the games before you get up to the state championship series or the Eastern Finals?
For me, I know we had a couple close calls.
You remember? Tell me about that.
Especially the one I was just talking about, West Craven. That was tough.
Was that playoffs or regular season?
The regular season.
In the playoffs, or did y'all just kind of get on a roll there?
78.
Well, one of the teams we played in 78, also we had a home game against Tarboro High School.
Uh-huh.
which they had Kelvin Bryant on the squad.
Okay. Played baseball.
Yeah, he played baseball, and he ended up playing football at Carolina, went to the Redskins. And so that game was close. They came through, and we put a little heat on them and shut them down. So, and then we kept moving forward from there. Yeah.
Yes. Now, you're talking about an athlete. He started out the season with 15 touchdowns in three games.
Yes, that's right.
Broke
football.
His leg, remember?
Yes.
Yeah, that was amazing, that run he had up there.
That's right.
That was when Steve Streeter was, I remember, in the wheelchair in the end zone.
Right.
And Kelvin would score a touchdown and go hand the ball to Streeter. Streeter got paralyzed in that wreck. You know? Remember, like it was yesterday. It was just one of the things you remember. So you talk about a serious athlete and a serious team with Tarboro.
Yeah.
Any other playoff member? Who did y'all play in the Eastern Finals that year?
Eastern Finals? I really don't recall.
We need to get one of the old annuals in
here. Hey, we need to pull it out. No doubt.
That's what we need. We need an annual so we can, you know, recollect.
That's the, the history books, right?
That's right.
So, and somewhere online, the High School Athletic Association has it. The years now they have it where it looks all nice and neat and everything, you know. You go back like to the 70s and stuff and the 80s when we played, and it looks like something they just, you know, run through the Xerox machine. But it's in there somewhere.
Yeah.
Now, who'd you play in the state finals in 78? Was it South Iredale?
South Iredale High School. Yeah. At their place.
At their high school. I remember we played a game. We won the first game. We won the first game pretty convincingly.
Right.
We had a day off up there.
So it was a three-game series.
Yeah, we had a day off because their graduation was the next day after the first game. So they well, you got to agree to it, but we it didn't matter because we were like, oh,
what
we
town is that in?
South Iredale.
Oh, wow. Man. I think it's off. What is that?
I've heard it, but I can't remember. It's up near, kind of near Mount Airy area up there.
Good.
Yeah,
it might be off of interstate. Is it 75?
West state,
yeah. Yeah, 40, 40 west. State seal up around that area.
It's up that way. But yeah, we had a day off. We played the next day after the graduation, but they had the MLB draft. And that's when Chuck and Melvin got drafted before we finished the state championship.
So y'all were juniors and got drafted, or was that?
Chuck was seniors. Louis
was
a junior.
Senior year.
And I'm running off the field, and somebody come running up saying, "Hey, man, you just got drafted by the Dodgers." And I'm like,
"Could you still be an amateur? Could you still play the baseball?"
Yeah, sure it is.
And that was back in the time when they would draft high school guys, whether they knew or not you were going to college.
Now they pretty much negotiate with you.
So a lot of them teams would take chances drafting a high school kid because they didn't know if you were going to college or not.
Right.
It's like the kid they got from, what was his name? Brian Taylor, remember from Carteret County.
Yeah, Carteret County, that's right.
Entire major league draft by the Yankees.
Yankees, man.
Got messed up, you know, in place you probably shouldn't have been with that kind of future, you know.
Right.
Yeah. It's one of the things that happens.
But it happens. Are you talking about like?
And you guys would understand better than anybody because he was defending his brother.
Yeah.
Right.
His brother was in. And you know, if he gets somebody's jumping on him, you're going to come to help.
Of course. I mean, we all got each other back regardless, man. So, but yeah, that was unfortunate. That happened a lot, though.
Man, he had a lot of talent.
Yeah, he did.
And so,
what I hear.
That's got to be kind of surreal, man, to be playing in a high school state championship series and here you're drafted.
I really didn't. It didn't really hit me.
Yeah.
It really didn't. And then when we get back after we won the championship.
We won it in two.
Once we got back, we had an escort to White Oak High School.
I heard about that.
And then once you get in the parking lot, you know, you had WITN, Channel 7 with the mic, and I was on TV. I was like, wow, what's going on?
Now, I wonder if at the bottom it said Major League prospect by the L.A. Dodgers, you know, under the bottom or something.
Yeah, yeah.
You
know what I mean? It was just wild.
That's cool. Back then, let's see, did they have they didn't have VHS and all that back then, did they?
Not at all.
For years, we made those libraries of the Blitz and stuff.
Right.
By running a VHS tape, you know, you set it to record.
Yes.
Now it's DVR, which who knows if you can keep it or what. I like the old days we had the tape.
You can keep it on the tape. I still got cases
of them tapes and stuff. Yeah. Y'all probably do too from your career.
Well, I have tapes of, you know, when my son was younger and I don't know how I'm going to play it, but I still got it, man. They still make players.
Oh, they do?
Okay, yeah. But as far as, you know, them filming our games and all that. See, yeah. we didn't have all that.
None of that. None
but
of that.
You just had to watch it live, you know, when it come on the news, and that was it.
That was it, man.
You'd have a way to tape it.
Yeah, that's
it.
Right.
That's amazing. I mean, to me, that was the golden era of sports. That's yes. just the yeah. way I'm an old yeah. school guy, but that's just what sports was. I mean, it was really what it was. Nowadays, it seems like there's so much business in it and politics.
I mean, it's politics yeah. and business, man. Yeah, it's all of that.
Now, what's your thoughts? I mean, you both went to NC State, right?
Well, I was due to play football at ECU football and baseball.
Okay.
Pat Dye used to coach at ECU.
Wow, you talk about a legendary guy.
Yeah, big time. He just passed away a little while back. Coach of Auburn championship yeah. team. Yeah. Recruited Bo Jackson. And he came and recruited me to play running back because we played football as well, yeah, running backs.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so I would have ended up playing baseball and football against my brother Louis and Chuck because they went to
State.
We went
to NC State.
That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, Chuck. Both yeah, Chuck yeah, and yeah. – and so just to think about that, it didn't happen due to I went on to sign a contract. Yeah. I wasn't really ready for school at the time, so I signed a contract and went on and gave it a shot and – didn't work out, so I went and served my country and went on in the military.
And we appreciate you,
sir. Yeah, yeah, sure enough. So
tell us about that first contract they come at you with.
Well, when I
was it the record like $40 million like it is nowadays.
Well, if it was, but we wouldn't be here talking right now. No doubt about
we'll
it.
We'll be in Vegas when we're talking.
Yeah. Hey, you might have to come track me down.
I have to find you.
Yeah, yeah.
So what
yeah.
was it like back then? What did they throw at you?
Well, you know, I don't talk numbers, and I'm even with my brother and Chuck, we've never talked about numbers.
Okay.
You know, we just went and yeah. signed our contract and went at it, you know, but I was excited. But I guess I think about it now with the Dodger check and the logo. Cashed it in Maysville, North Carolina.
Did you get a picture of it or anything?
Didn't do none of that. But,
Would you just go to the Stop and Go at Belgrade and cash it?
It was for a citizen. Hey, they would have looked
at it. Stop and Go. Yeah. I can see the Stop and Go going.
Yeah, yeah. Woo. They would have looked at it and say, wow, this got to be counterfeit.
I got one question.
It's not real.
Yes, yes.
I got one question. I know you don't talk numbers, but was it enough to make your eyes get big?
Not like the guys of today.
Oh, but back then it was, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it was fine, you know. So, then, yeah. But normally, because Billy Mills, you know, he's one of my best mentors and buddies.
That's another name from yeah. back in the day.
You know,
day,
yeah. and so we've always talked a lot, and he was telling me about, I think he had a relative that worked in the bank over there.
Yes.
So when I moved back out in the military, and me and Billy, we would work out at the Onslow Fitness over here in Jacksonville, and he would tell me about how they remember folks sharing with them about the Dodger check and probably Louis check as well because we were banking with First Citizen and Maysville right. at the time.
I got you.
Yeah, yeah. So that was
crazy back then. Yeah. Remember when the Dodgers and the Astros were in the West?
In the West.
They were in the West. Absolutely.
And I still cannot get used to the Houston Astros being the American
League. Being the American League. That's right.
Yeah,
that's
don't right. sound
yeah.
like it.
Yeah, yeah. Sure enough.
So,
yeah.
But you, and of course, yeah. you went in the Astros division. We're getting ahead of ourselves a little bit because I want to finish up y'all's high school stuff.
All right.
But, y'all aren't gonna talk any numbers at all. You just it was something to major eyes bug too, that yeah, Astros yeah. contract, wasn't it?
Well, I mean, you
but
know,
it was after you went to college, right?
It was after I went to yeah. college. Actually, you know, I played baseball and football at NC State. Chucky did too, but yeah. I played all 3 years, and you know, I enjoyed them 3 years. I enjoyed playing college football though.
Right.
People don't realize yeah. college football was like a passion for me. Yeah. So
what position did you play there?
I played DB and return punts.
Okay.
Yeah.
So back in the day, if things had come together, you at East Carolina running back, you defensive back, the hole opens, running back comes in, and there's brother to brother meeting each other.
Yeah.
Would that have been the biggest train wreck that ever existed?
Well, it depends on if they had betting going on. Like hey, whether you're going to get a cut or not.
Well, yeah, I'll,
but you guys are brothers and love each other. Yeah. You oh, yeah. back down but, at all. It'd have been just, it'd have been a train.
But what I do know is yeah. if he would have got through the line, yeah. I played with three other guys in the secondary that all played in the yeah. NFL.
Who was that?
So we would have took him down.
Yeah. Yeah. Drop a couple of names.
And guess who the coach, his DB coach was?
At
NC State, yeah.
DB coach,
yeah, at the time.
I don't know.
Pete Carroll.
Really?
Yes, Pete
yeah.
Carroll.
Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll was the defensive coordinator, yeah. DB coach. Monty Kiffin, which was a long-time defensive coordinator, was the head coach.
And it's those names you mentioned that, that you know, take you back to that time. Y'all know Bob Sanders, right?
Yes. I made him
up. Talking about, man, he is a great guy to have in here talking about football because, dude, he knows more than we've all forgot.
Absolutely.
Right. I mean, he's forgot more than we
all know. More than you'll know about.
Because he, you know, defensive coordinator for the Packers, that story he tells – It almost gives me goosebumps because I realize how close he was to coaching in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Brett Favre goes rogue and throws an interception instead of doing what it, you know, he's Brett Favre.
Brett Favre.
That's what he did. Yeah. Doesn't throw that interception, they probably go to the Super Bowl. That's just the way it is.
Yeah.
But yeah, great guy to talk to. If y'all get a chance, sit down and just pick his brain, go eat somewhere, you know, it'd be great.
Well, I met him last night, so I didn't get a chance.
Is that the first time you met him?
It was the first time.
And the first time I met him was at a
quiet guy, but you get him started talking.
So you can get some education out of
him. Oh, yeah. And he can sit there. We had a defensive coach at Southwest, a JV coach, that wanted to, you know, look at some tape with him and just kind of show him how to break down tape. He said, all right, we'll stop that right now. And he'll tell you how to stop it, you know, something that the other team's doing, and just knows what to do to stop it just by looking at it. He can look at it in 2 seconds and tell you how to stop it.
And know how to do it.
That's big-time stuff right there.
Oh, yeah.
So, finish up 78. It's a two-game series. You won first game handily, you said?
Yes, we did.
Second game, was it more of a dogfight after their graduation? First of all, what was it like to take Piney Green and Belgrade out west and stay 3 or 4 days in hotels and stuff? We all having a good time?
Well, it was fun, man. It was fun.
You were focused on
we had to win first because, you know, you had to think about it. The year before, we lost, so we wasn't going to lose. We were totally focused, but after that second game, you know, we won convincingly too, but it was a closer game.
Yeah.
But we had fun after the game.
And the things that happened after the game, we have to, you know, keep with us.
Yeah, we got it. We had kind of like fun.
Going to Vegas. Hold on, they didn't let y'all stay a night after you won, did they?
Yes, we did.
Oh. The night. Well, I mean, South Iredale,
I'd have brought y'all right back home.
Well, coaches, you know, you would have, but
it was probably on like don't
know. Oh, man.
It was a lot of fun.
Now, I know the first year Phil took a team to the state championship in football in 1999, he had him stay the night before and everything. He said he would never do that again. Because you know how young kids are.
Right.
A lot of them were up at night, maybe didn't get to sleep, like they got in their own bed. He said, I don't care. We can get up early in the morning and drive up that Saturday from here on. And that's what he did the rest of the time. But y'all had a good time, of course. Behave yourselves. And like you said, we can't go into a lot of that stuff.
We all had a good time.
We could actually take our next break real quick, and we come back. We'll talk a little bit more about getting into that second season and rolling on with that streak with Louis Meadows and Melvin Meadows here on Sports Talk.
It's Sports Talk Live on Freedom 97.1 WSME.
Hey, welcome back to Sports Talk. I'm your host, Chris Rayner. Got Melvin Meadows and Louis Meadows with us today. We're going to take a quick break, though. You heard the Scorpions. We're going to talk about the Carolina Hurricanes, our Hurricane Watch. The Hurricanes Watch has officially transitioned to a hurricane warning, Chris. Hollywood, man.
Yeah.
It's playoff time, baby. That's when they play hockey season for, it seems like, 8 months, and then it's all for the playoffs.
Yeah.
And you guys remember last year, we were talking about this on some other shows, the baseball playoffs. Did y'all keep up with them last year? It was crazy because all the top seeds lost in the first round.
Sure did.
I kept up with that. Houston didn't win a game.
Had the play-in people beating the top seeds because you take 6 days off in a baseball season.
And you can get out of the zone.
That's
right.
So that's what's getting ready to happen. All it's about is getting hot during the playoffs.
Getting hot.
Getting hot, stay hot.
And the Canes have certainly been hot. They had a six-game winning streak. They won last Friday night. Our show was last Friday the 12th. They won that night 5-2 over the St. Louis Blues. Then they beat the Chicago, the Blackhawks. I'm sorry. I want to call them the Black Sox from the old days. Chicago Blackhawks 4-2. Then they got a nothing game this past Tuesday night. But what I mean by nothing game, they have nowhere they can go up, nowhere they can go down. So you know what happens in them games in the pros.
They flop.
Yeah, they flop because you're not playing everybody. You're resting some people. Right. You got some kid from, you know, that works your paper route playing goalie or something, And they lost 6-3 to the Columbus Blue Jackets, who aren't really that great a team. But all it is getting ready for the playoffs, and that'll start tomorrow, Saturday will be the first game for the Hurricanes in the playoffs. Good luck to them. They're the only North Carolina team ever to win a world championship. Did you know that? Wow. You got the Hornets. I don't think they've even come close.
Not at all.
They ain't even got to the Eastern Finals that I know of. The Panthers had two great runs and had the chance to win both of them Super Bowls. You remember how it was?
They sure did.
John Casey kicks the ball out of bounds in 2004. Man, that would have been a magical year for me because the Stags had won the state championship in football.
Yeah.
You to have the Panthers win it in the NFL, the Super Bowl would have been great. But, you know, Tom Brady, don't give him an inch.
That's take right. Him out, no, take him out. That's
then,
right.
Then, of course, in man, that golden season they had in 2015, Cam Newton was running the show. The only thing most people didn't like about Cam was the showboating a little bit. So I think some fans were turned off by that, but you got to admit, that dude was a monster.
Yeah, he's a beast.
He's a offensive lineman running like a deer.
That's right.
And
that's right.
That was what made him so great. And that's what, you know, the Panthers were so close to winning that Super Bowl. And I think eventually they'll get one. I think we're going to have to get a new owner to do it. I said it. That dude is killing us. He's trading the best players for Magic Beans and third-round draft picks. And anyway, I've gotten off the Hurricanes watch. Hurricanes going to the playoffs. So it's time for Hurricanes to win another Stanley Cup. We're all going to be behind them. We'll keep up with that each week. And we'll slowly transition to the Wood Ducks report, too, because Downey's Heating and Air sponsors both of them. Jason Humphrey and the guys. Now, Jason, you know, a lot of them Humphreys from out that way, too. So you, I don't know if you guys knew Jason or not. He's a little younger. He's actually younger than me because young fella.
Yeah.
His daddy, Tommy Humphrey, just passed away recently. So our thoughts are still with the family and everything. But thank you to Jason Humphrey, you guys, for sponsoring the hurricane warning, we're going to call it now, because we bumped up to a warning. It's official. And I hope they win it all in the Stanley Cup. Now, we got a couple minutes where we have to take this quick break. Talk to us about those DBs you were talking about that were on your team at NC State.
Yeah, the NC State. I played with Perry Williams. He got drafted by the New York Giants, won two Super Bowls with them with LT.
Wow.
Yes.
Have you talked to him about what it's like to play with LT?
Well, I haven't talked to him about any of that. We've met each other at NC State, you know, for, you know, reunions and all of that, but never got the chance to ask him about
that. Man, that was always one dude I would love to meet was Lawrence Taylor.
Yeah. So
he came back to a Carolina game we were at this past year, and just to have him in the building. It was electric.
Yeah.
In my opinion, he's the greatest defensive player ever to play.
Yeah,
I agree.
He was
definitely
big
top five.
He was a beast.
You can look at it from defensive back, linebacker. You know, you got Reggie White. You know, the minister of defense. You know, whatever position it is. But he changed the game from that linebacker position. No longer was a linebacker just an offensive lineman standing up. He was all of a sudden in everybody's face.
Yeah, he was. We caught him on film. NC State playing at Tar Heel.
Uh-huh.
We caught him on film. Sweep, NC State sweep. They pitched the ball.
Yeah.
Two running backs. He hurt both of them.
He's just a man.
6'5", 250. You jumping over both of them. They got it on film. Our coaches must have played that probably half the year, man. Like, this is unbelievable.
Well, I'm going to send you a link. If people out there that just want to see it, go to YouTube and type in Lawrence Taylor. What's the song by Ted Nugent?
Can't Scratch Fever.
Not that one. The other. You know what that means, by the way. Look at that. The other one. I can't think of it. It'll come to me. I know.
Okay,
I get sidetracked easily. But type in just Ted Nugent, Lawrence Taylor, and there's a video to that song, and he's
crushing.
Man, he was scary as a teammate.
Yeah,
because he was so amped up all the time. Now, I understand.
Well, we find out years later, but
the reason why
he was a beast. Total.
Stranglehold by Ted Nugent.
Type
in Lawrence Taylor, Stranglehold.
Yeah,
and, man, that video, he was slinging people around like ragdolls.
Yeah, he was.
Just a madman. Yeah. Now, who are some of the other DBs?
And Eric Williams, he played 6 or 7 years with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Right.
Donnie LeGrand.
Oh yeah,
Remember that name? Yeah, man, we had some, and Pete Carroll coached us, man. And
now was you mentioned Ted Brown earlier? Was he on that team or just before?
No, he was before me.
I thought he was before, when I got
to NC State, he had just got drafted by the Vikings.
Okay,
yeah.
You talk about one of the all time state greats.
Absolutely, big
was Ted
time,
Brown,
big time.
And so, what was it like on campus there? Now, were you doing baseball too?
I was doing baseball. To be honest, Chris, I was having the time of my life. Even though I didn't have time to do a lot of things. Going from football to baseball, but they never made me play in a spring football game.
That's what I was getting ready to ask you. Was it never, like it is now where they had the spring practices?
Yeah, yeah. We had the spring practices. We had the spring games. It wasn't as big as it is now.
Yeah.
But I just walked out there just to be on the field with the guys.
Now, I should have warned you all about that light. That means the Carolina Hurricanes have scored another goal. So we're going to take our last break. When we come back, we're going to hit y'all on everything that, you know, the rest of the way on what y'all been doing. We'll be right back on Sports Talk.
It's Sports Talk on Freedom 97.1 WSME.
Hey, we're back here on Sports Talk. I'm your host, Chris Rayner. Ashton's had to leave us. He slipped out like a thief in the night. Didn't even hear him go. He's like that ninja sneaking out of here. But we've still got Melvin Meadows and Louis Meadows with us here today. Welcome, guys. Thanks for being here with us to talk about that great run y'all had with the White Oak teams. We got to talking on the break a little bit about just baseball in general and some of the changes in the game. Some of the records we were talking about, like Nolan Ryan's 5,000, almost 6,000 strikeouts. I don't think that'll ever be touched.
Never be touched.
Pitchers don't pitch like that anymore.
Not at all.
My thought on that is, you know, I mean, these kids are they're playing one sport. There's no way that your body can hold up to one sport. I mean, and even pitchers are, I mean, that's why you're having kids that are 18, 19 years old having Tommy John surgery.
Yeah, and they have that to prolong their career. But a lot of the old pitchers, you know, just lived with it.
They lived with it. Yeah. Right. They rehab. They did arm exercises. They did all the little things.
Like they have a surgery to improve
themselves. They do make the arm stronger.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, we were talking about, I didn't want to mention this off the air because I want to get your first impression when I say it to you. Greatest of all time in baseball.
Ooh.
I wanted to get that.
Major league.
Well, what helped me improve my game when I was in high school, I read about this one ball player, and his name was Roberto Clemente.
Yeah, one of the best.
One of the best.
Pirate, wasn't he?
Pirate, that's right. Yeah. So he's one on my mind, Roberto. Then you look at Willie Mays.
Oh, yeah.
And Hank Aaron and those guys, you know. So,
all right, what you got, Louis? What you think?
Hank Aaron was mine. I met him when I first signed with the Astros, he was a roving instructor for the Braves.
Yeah.
And he was just so super, super. I mean, he talked, whether you were the opposition or his team, he would always come over and give you a tip, man.
Yeah, and I personally, this is just me being an old guy, I hate that this home run record fell to a group that, you know, we're doing things different than what the old guys used to do.
The steroid era.
I still consider him to be the best home run hitter of all time.
No doubt.
Him and Babe Ruth. And that's the thing about baseball. You can talk about greatest of all time. Most time you get Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Or somebody in current history.
Right.
Even Jim Brown, you know, that's still fairly recent history.
Right.
You talk about the greatest of all time in basketball, it's usually between Jordan and LeBron.
Right.
What's your thoughts on that? Jordan or LeBron?
I just think, well, I'll just say this. Michael Jordan was a straight killer basketball player. Yeah. Straight killer. If you want to win a game, enter the game, free throws, last shot, he was a killer.
What's your thoughts?
I would roll with Michael Jordan. I do believe that the turmoil he went through dealing with his father.
And right in the middle of that big run, too.
Exactly.
Big run.
I think he would have had more championships. So I wrote with Michael Jordan.
He certainly would have had more stats if he hadn't had that layoff from baseball with his dad.
Yeah.
Then you figure he had 3 years in college that, you know, LeBron did.
Right.
He couldn't build those stats.
Yes.
The thing that makes me pick Jordan over LeBron is back then basketball was must-see.
Yeah. Yes.
You were sitting there turning on WGN to watch him every night.
That's right.
Whether you were a Bulls fan or not.
That's right.
The Lakers can be on playing, and if there's nothing else on, I might watch it.
Absolutely.
I might not.
Wherever Michael showed up, there was a sellout.
Oh, yeah.
It big was time. Awesome.
Now, going back to the greatest of all time in baseball, and this is my point, it's harder to pick an era in baseball because you got people that'll say Babe Ruth.
All the way back in the 20s.
And then you got, you know, the Hank Aaron era, Roberto Clemente, some of the newer ones, you know, they'll mention. And so there's a bigger gap there. I mean, when you talk about Babe Ruth, and people that listen to the show every week were like, he's talking about Babe Ruth again. But y'all haven't heard this before, so I'm going to talk about it. That dude would play cards all night, drink, have we with the ladies come out, pitch both ends of a doubleheader, and hit four
and
home runs.
And hit four home runs.
Yeah. So it was a different era.
So it was a totally different era. And to see Ohtani do that, can you imagine what Babe Ruth did?
Right.
All right. Now you open.
Think about that now. I mean, because people's in awe about what Ohtani's doing.
Yeah.
But Babe Ruth.
He was doing it on the same level. Yeah, with what he had.
On the same level.
Different time, but same.
So to be able to pitch and do all that, and like you say, he's out all night, you know, Babe Ruth, you know, he did his thing, you know.
Well, now you brought his name up, so we're going to say it. Of course, Pete Rose is not in the Hall of Fame because he gambled. Now, this whole thing that's come up with Ohtani, this whole gambling thing, which I don't know if they've gotten a grasp on what happened yet or not.
Right.
I mean, that's got to hurt him, you know. Right. I mean, even if it was his interpreter doing it or whatever, talking about millions of dollars.
Well,
and Pete was betting on his own team.
Well, people started to think that he had to have some information.
Had to.
Okay, so I'll just leave it at that.
Only play dumb so much.
Right. So
you got to know where your money is going.
I mean, if somebody messing with $16 million of your dollars, wouldn't you know a little bit about that?
Hey, I know if somebody was messing with $16 of my dollars.
$16 million? So I'm going to just leave that alone. But
he is a super
great player, though, without a doubt.
He is, man, and it's a phenomenal thing at this level to make the All-Star game as a pitcher and a
pitcher
hitter.
That's
crazy.
I mean, that's unheard of. Real.
All right, we're going to jump into this day in sports. All this stuff happened on April 19th. We're just going to take turns going around reading it. And on April 19th in 1897, the first Boston Marathon, also called the BAA, I don't know what that stands for. I can imagine badass road race, won by John J. McDermott in, I'm guessing, 2 hours and 55 minutes and 10 seconds. It's the world's oldest annual marathon inspired by success of the first marathon in the 1896 Summer Olympics. Now, if you guys ever see me and I've been running for 2 hours and 55 minutes, shoot whatever is chasing me because that's the only time. All right, Melvin, if you get 1900 there.
Okay, 1900. Highest scoring opening game. Fields beat the Braves 19-17 in 10 innings.
Now, it obviously didn't have either one of y'all pitching.
Not at all.
Not to get to 19-17.
Hey, if I was pitching
it would have been different.
It would have been a lot of hit batters.
Right.
A lot of batters being hit.
And it's funny you should
mention
that.
He threw hard, but he didn't know where it was going.
It's funny you should mention that because we had Henry Rocher in here one time, and I don't know if y'all heard the story, but he played at Dixon down there a little after y'all.
You said Henry?
Henry Rocher. It was right much after y'all. It was kind of early 80s or so.
Okay.
He goes to Campbell, has a good career there, but he wasn't a home run hitter. He hit 5 home runs in one game.
Wow.
Against Radford. I think his whole career, he was like 10 or 11, you know, his whole 4 years there. But in one game, had that magic game, 5 home runs against Radford. He was, you know, the record holder in the NCAA for a long time until some kid from Florida State hit 6. My question to y'all is both from the pitching standpoint, a guy's already hit 3 home runs off of you. Is he going to hit another one?
Yeah, if he hit 2, he's not going to hit another.
You're going to drill him the next pitch, probably. Or going to walk him at least.
Well, we're going to go high and tight.
That's what will happen.
5 pitches at least.
Wonder, we've had him on here before, and I asked him, I said, why do they keep pitching to you?
Yeah.
All right, Lou, if you get 1947.
Okay, 1947, Stanley Cup Final, Maple Leaf Gardens, Toronto, Ontario. Toronto Maple Leafs edge Montreal Canadiens 2-1 for a 4-2 series win. First all-Canadian final since 1935.
And that's their football up there. I mean, they're hockey people.
Absolutely.
Up there. You would think it would happen more often. All right, in 1960, baseball uniforms began displaying players' names on their backs. I remember the great quote from the hockey coach for the USA in 1980. He said, the name on the front means a whole lot more than that name on the back.
Right, right. Absolutely.
1981, the Oakland Athletics runs the record to 11-0.
That's a pretty good start.
No doubt about it.
Not as good as 52-0 like you guys
did. Not at all.
Right. But they were trying.
1986, Michael Spinks beat Larry Holmes in 15 for heavyweight boxing title.
I remember that. That was a good boxing.
Yeah, that was. Right.
That was back when boxing meant something.
Yeah.
Now it's all UFC, and I don't even know boxing.
Well, it's UFC.
Yeah.
I mean, people.
Boxing doesn't have that place anymore.
I mean, UFC is like the top thing. Boxing, it's not there anymore.
All right, 1987, the L.A. Clippers end the season with a terrible 12-70 record. Sounds like the Charlotte Hornets every year. Charlotte Hornets,
1989. Kevin Elster of the New York Mets sets errorless shortstop mark at 73.
All right. Did you go good. 73 games without committing
it's
to
pretty
error?
Good.
You played shortstop some, right?
No.
No, you're outfield.
We're all outfield.
Okay.
Outfield.
Yep. Who was your shortstop on that team? Because I remember them mentioning it.
Mike Meadows.
Mike Meadows plays shortstop.
Exactly.
So did Mike go 73 games without an error?
No,
probably not.
Probably didn't go 52 without an error.
It's tough, man. Especially
he probably didn't go
level.
52, yeah. Right?
All right. Who did that last one? I'm sorry.
I did.
All right.
Next,
so
Louis.
On me. You,
okay.
1990 Pistons and 76ers get into a fight, accruing $162,500 fine, NBA record.
Was that the Malice in the Palace, or was that – that was Indiana.
Yeah, that was Indiana.
That was Indiana, the Pistons,
yeah,
where
yeah.
they started to get up in the stands.
Yeah,
like
they was
the
all up in
stuff.
The stands,
yeah.
Absolutely.
All right, back to boxing in 1991 on April 19th. Evander Holyfield beat George Foreman in 12 for the heavyweight boxing title.
Wow.
George didn't do too bad. He went out and made him a grill. Made a lot of money.
No
doubt. A
lot
doubt. Of money. Yeah, I still okay got one. Don't know how to use it, but I still got one.
That I got a big one, too.
That Joker cooked so good, too, and I just don't think about it.
Yeah. It's just sitting there, been yep. there for years.
I still have one as well. I have the many, being that I'm single. 1992, the Senior PGA Championship, PGA National GC. Lee Trevino beats Mike Hill by one stroke for his third Seniors Major title.
Yeah, the Mary Max, they called him, old Lee Trevino. One of his greatest quotes, you play a little golf, so you understand what I mean. He said, playing them tournaments for all them millions, that weren't no pressure. It was trying to make that putt for $5 back when I was a kid, and I didn't have $5.
Didn't have $5. That's pressure, right?
That's pressure.
All right, 1997 NFL draft, Ohio State offensive tackle Orlando Pace, first pick by St. Louis Rams.
Now, didn't he kind of end up being kind of a disappointment? You remember, obviously, the biggest bust of all time, a lot of people, if you're Panthers fans, will say getting, you know, Bryce Young was one of them, but yeah. He's still a good quarterback. Who was the kid?
What about the kid for the Raiders?
That's
wasn't
the one
he
I was.
Bust?
Yeah, that's the one I was trying
Al
to think
Davis,
of.
Al Davis, the big quarterback.
Yep. And then there was the other guy too that
come out of LSU.
Ryan Leaf.
Yeah,
Ryan
I was
Leaf.
Trying to think
okay,
of.
Yeah.
Ryan Leaf.
The one I was thinking of with the Raiders. Remember Jamarcus Russell?
Russell.
You remember
that's the one I was
come out of LSU?
Story.
Yeah, Russell.
They thought he weren't being serious about studying tape and everything, right. So they sent some blank videotapes home with him. The next day, they asked him what he thought of the tape. He said, yeah, they were blank tapes.
He never watched
them. So, obviously, he was never looking at
them.
So, he was one of the bigger busts, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, last one in 2021 in Las Vegas, Nevada, the San Jose Sharks forward Patrick Marleau breaks Gordie Howe's NHL record for most games played now at 1,768 and counting. Now, talking about that, that's in hockey. That's a whole different ballgame. How about a record that Cal Ripken had?
Oh, wow.
What was it, like 6,000 games or something played? It was a lot, whatever it was.
Yeah, it was what?
To come out every day and be able to and perform.
What, 12, 13 seasons without missing a game?
Not missing a game.
These guys miss, a starter now miss at least 15 to 20
Oh,
games.
And now they don't miss
to rest
because they're hurt for rest. Yes.
Yeah. Well, we're going to rest him.
Yeah, we're going to rest it. So it's a whole different era
it's
now.
It's totally different. Man.
Well, let's teleport back to 1978 because we want to finish up that season.
Yeah.
That magical run y'all had, the 50-some games in a row. You sweep through the regular season again, win the conference and everything. You get to the playoffs. And when I looked it up, and I did find on the High School Athletic Association where it listed the two seasons. And we'll go back to, first of all, the 77 season. Wake Forest Roseville, made the finals. Y'all lost to them. The 78 season, you guys won over – who was it in the East? Do you remember?
I have no idea.
I can't remember. I don't remember hearing who it was y'all beat in the East, but you get to the state finals, you get out to South Iredale and get stuck because of graduation.
Yeah,
you're there three or 4 days trying to play a two-game series. Y'all, according to this, you won the first game 7-1. You were talking about how y'all had kind of spanked in the first game. Second game, more of a pitcher's duel, 2-0. So you won it in two games. We've covered all that and everything. Then in 1979, it was East Gaston. We were trying to remember it earlier. First game 5-3. Do you remember much about that game or
what
happened at the end?
I remember that game. I played center field. It started out as a pitcher's duel. I remember, I was told after the game, a couple of NC State guys, the head coach sent them down to watch me play, even though I'd already signed with NC State.
Right.
But that was the first time they had seen me playing live ball.
Right.
How
many times have you seen a coach go to see a kid play a different sport?
Right.
Just because he wants to see what kind of tiger he's got.
Well, he just wanted to see you in person. Now. Yeah. And but the game was, we led the game the whole time, just about. So it wasn't ever close. Even though both of these games we played were close, and Green Central had a great team too. I think they were picked to win it over us. Even
now, that was the year you beat Green Central in the Eastern Finals.
We beat them in the Eastern Finals.
And as it turns out, in the next year, 1980, Green Central won it all over Kings Mountain.
Yeah.
So that was those two teams back and forth.
Yeah, they had a really good team, and Kings Mountain was known as. Yeah. Having great athletes out there as well.
Well, looking back at the 79 series to finish it out, you guys won 4-2 in the second game over East Gaston to close that one out. And like I said, keep that streak going. So was it 52 games at that point where you had won the first
actually
two?
Actually, it was 45. When we won that state championship, it was 45. That's what we ended that year out.
And then the next year?
Then the next year I graduated, went to NC State.
And you had graduated the year before?
Yes, I did. Sure did.
And so they reeled off like 7-0, and everybody
was
excited.
So it got up to like 52 games.
And then I think one of the players told me the other night that they ran into a team in Wilmington.
Yeah.
And they had a big ace man and said he wasn't feeling that unbeaten streak. Cause, you know, all the guys that we played would start reading about that, you know, because they were posting it.
Because
they were posting
it
every
game,
man. Yeah. So,
And the thing is, back then, a lot of teams that make those runs, like Dixon a few years back, with Rookie Davis, that went on, to the minor leagues and went on to play, for the
major league.
In the majors, the Yankees, the Reds and the Pirates. You know, that was their stud.
Yeah.
But on a three-game series, you can only pitch the
stud
one time. Unless it works out where you can get him in the third game.
Get him in the third game, yeah.
But you guys had that kind of staff that had two or three studs.
Yeah.
Right.
And not all that, major league caliber pitcher type thing, but you had all of them at the same level where you didn't have to worry about that.
We had the two or three main starters, but we also had guys like Melvin.
Yeah.
Melvin Kinsey. We had like Jeff Morton. We had some other guys that can come in and probably fill two or three innings.
Right.
Which in a 7-inning game, that's all you really need is a couple innings of help.
But we never had to be used.
Which
was great.
We had some.
And in that series, it was 5-3, 4-2. Not pitcher's duels, you'd say, but kind of in the medium. Big run outputs either. So it was those tense type games.
There were tense games all the way through.
Any
no
play could have changed it. In 77, you're talking about the play at the end of the game.
That's right.
Had some of those plays that went in your favor.
That went in our favor, absolutely.
That's awesome. Man, you guys, it's almost like Onslow County legendary stuff, it is. Whether you guys are humble, and I appreciate that, but that run y'all had was legendary. It's like the back-to-back Stallion State Championships.
Right.
Stuff like that don't happen every year.
Yeah, that's true. That's
you got to celebrate that and enjoy it.
We appreciate you, Chris. I mean, approaching us because we never had the chance to even tell our stories about any of this.
That's right.
Well, anybody that's played high school sports, you start that season out thinking, we're going for the ring.
Absolutely.
And you always want to beat it at that point. My senior year, we went to the third round, and I thought we had done good. And then, later years, the teams going to state championships. Jacksonville, of course, won the state championship in 82. And I always used to think it was Eddie Colson on that team, but I don't think he was on. He may have been on that team.
I don't think he won a state championship.
I think Eddie Colson came through with our brother Ivory.
See, Eddie Colson was like a year or two younger than me.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So Eddie was the year, they went before, but didn't win it.
Absolutely.
But, man, Coach Ray Durham had some teams rolling through there.
But they had some athletes, man, big time.
And what strikes me, and from what you guys talk about, Coach McGirt, and them talking about, last night or Tuesday night at the Hall of Fame thing, talking about Coach Jack Brown and his practices, it's not easy.
No.
I want to give a word out of these parents that every time something goes against your kid – he either doesn't make, isn't the starter for a game or something like that. It's not the coach's fault.
Yeah.
It's not the administrator's fault. It's not the school's fault. I hark back to Michael Jordan. He goes out his sophomore year for the varsity team. That coach that cut him is legendary.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Because, he's always going to be known as the coach to cut Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan.
And Jordan will tell you he probably weren't ready for it at that point. But what did he do? Did he go transfer schools?
No.
To go to another school where he could play?
No.
He got better.
He focused on his craft.
And you guys did the same thing after the 77 season.
Right. You have to give the administration, the coaches, the mentors, the guardians, you have to give all them credit.
Yeah.
Because they either helping you, watching you, fixing your lunch, watching your uniforms, helping you get to practice.
Making cookies for the players.
Exactly. Cookies, box of cookies, your favorite snacks, you know.
That's right.
And so everybody plays a part in all of that.
Now, that was your team that had the cookies, right? Or was that Tony's team?
No, that was Tony's
team.
That was Tony's team.
Tony Marshberry. Yeah,
I got to call him because he's still over there talking about it. I got to see him.
Okay.
Yeah, that was Tony.
Okay. Now, I remember it as one of the stories there, and I couldn't remember if it was you guys or not. Yeah. But, man, it's just great to have you guys. Anytime you come back in town, y'all want to get back to get on here together, I'll get with you and maybe try and get Chucky on here sometime because he's local also.
Yes, he is.
Absolutely. Yeah, we might do it in the meantime. But anytime you are in town, I've got your number and I'll get yours also. Okay. Just let us know if you ever want to do it again. Anything else y'all want to cover about them teams or any other shout-outs before we go?
I mean, I just like to shoot a couple shout-outs. Again, Tom McGirt,
Coach.
LD Kennedy, coaches in Little League, James Christ.
Now, did you guys play at the old East Piney Green ball field out there?
That was before.
Or was that Morton?
No, we played Tabernacle, Morton.
Right. Up that
and more, then a lot of the teams that we played, like Bella Woods, and we even had a out at White Oak High School.
Yeah.
There was a field out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we played a lot of those same fields all the time.
And we played Babe Ruth. We had to travel from here to Carteret County every week to play baseball.
Because we played in their league.
Yeah, we played in their
and
league as well.
Far through the cut-through roads there.
Right, right.
Yeah. So I mean, and it goes back to what you were saying, you know, these kids, you know, and the parents, you know, one thing that our Little League coach made the parents do, when you drop the kids off to me, they're my kids for 2 hours.
That's right.
You know, you can watch what we do or – you can leave them here with me, but you can't be at practice disrupting practice and doing things
and I've seen
that
happen.
Distract
I've seen
your kids.
Get involved during
get involved practice. During practices. So we had a lot of that, which helped all of us to gel together.
Now, coaching Little League years ago, I'll never forget, you're there. You're trying to get this kid's attention to do something during the game, and you got 67 voices behind
coming
you.
Coming at them.
Stop. Go. This, you know, it's just, it's tough.
It's tough on the kids. Just let the kids be kids. Yeah. Let them have fun.
And I guarantee
you'll get the most out of it.
That was another thing from our era, too. It was nothing for us to get up a ball game somewhere on the field. We didn't have to have coaches or, you know, everything, you know, sanctioned. You know what I mean? It didn't have to be during rec or anything.
Absolutely.
We just get out there and play.
Just get out there and play. Have pickup games.
Best baseball ever played.
Pickup games.
Absolutely.
And anything that was round, whether it was a doll, baby head, if the ball got lost, or a potato, that's what we hit.
Yeah.
We hit all kinds of
And there's no doubt in my mind, as good as y'all were at each sport, y'all good at basketball, baseball, football, everything. If we'd have had ice hockey back here during the years, y'all would have been good at that, too.
We'd have knew how to skate on ice, that's for sure.
You'd have been coming out
there. We'd have been out there.
As long as we didn't fall through the ice.
Because, you know, in ice hockey, you get to fight with it.
Yeah, you get to fight, man. You get to fight.
Ashley, one of his favorite quotes is, I went to a fight the other night and a hockey game broke out.
All right,
we're going to close out here. I appreciate it. Anything else you want to add before we go, Mel?
Shout out to Tom McGirt and everyone that supported us throughout the years while playing baseball. Shout out to everyone.
Awesome run y'all had, man.
No doubt.
All right. Remember, Sports Talk is powered by the Law Offices of John Drew Warlick, Rock Creek Golf and Country Club, Golden Corral, Jones Lonzo EMC, your Touchstone Energy Cooperative, Barnes Diamond Gallery, National Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram, Bayshore Animal Hospital. Don't forget their new location is open at 623 East Sabinson Drive in Swansboro. Bartley Insurance Services, Bill Mercer, Lane Associates Family Dentistry, Humphrey Heating and Air Conditioning, and Southern Touch Painting. And also thanks to Helen's Kitchen for our delicious breakfast bowls they bring us every week. Hurricane warning, we're calling the warning now officially, is by Downey's Heating and Air. The Hurricanes getting ready to go to the playoffs starting tomorrow, so make sure you tune in and root the Canes on. Let's try and get another world title here in North Carolina. You can find on-demand Sports Talk podcasts at WSME971.com. Wave to the YouTube crowd before we go. Thank you, YouTube. Our YouTube channel is YouTube at WSME Radio. And before I go, I want to give one more shout-out. Joey Hudler, the owner, proprietor of Modern Tire Service. Joey had a heart attack this week. A good friend of mine grew up with him, and it makes you, you know, I'm a little chunky myself, you know. It makes you realize that, you know, we're all human. Our prayers going out to Joey and them. I hope everything, you know, does really well, and hopefully he comes through this, and our prayers are with him to, you know, for speedy recovery.
And also, I would like to say a shout out to Melvin Kinsey. He's a player with us in the family. He just recently him and his wife lost their son. And shout outs to them and prayers for
the
family.
Tough, you know, yeah, the boat tax and everything that's really right. tough on the family. Yes. So prayers and condolences to
yes.
them.
Yes.
And thank you guys for being with us. We'll try and hook up something again here shortly.
No doubt.
All right, we'll see you next week on Sports Talk.
All right.